today on Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley.
It is the definitive story of how a God has brought a people up out of slavery and brought them to a place of promise and privilege and prestige. No other people have the story that we have.
Welcome to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church, an inspiring weekly series that will provide practical life applications and motivate you to step out of the shadows and move forward in your faith.
Hey, family. Our message this week comes to us from Numbers 14, 20 through 25. In this week's sermon entitled Major Mistakes, Pastor Wesley cautions us of becoming a generation who dishonors and disregards the God of our ancestors. Let's listen and learn.
If you haven't been up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you'd be surprised how many local channels are airing infomercials. You know what an infomercial is, that half-hour commercial that's trying to sell you something for $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And if you call within the next 5 minutes, you'll get two for the price of one. You may think that infomercials air that hour of the morning simply because that's the cheaper broadcast time. But in reality, marketers and advertising gurus have found out that at 3 o'clock in the morning, you are susceptible to buying anything. Literally, studies have been done to prove that anybody who's up at 3 in the morning has something going on in their life that indicates they have a need. And when you purchase something and feel it has fulfill your need, it'll help you rest better. You may laugh at it, but millions of dollars have been made convincing folk at 3 in the morning that you need a Snuggie. Because a blanket just ain't good enough. What would an infomercial about God look like? What would you air to persuade folk that they need a walk with Jesus Christ? That's a good question, because life has a way of putting people in a place where they realize they need something more than money. They need something more reliable than friends and fame. They need something more fulfilling than job and relationship. God has a way of putting people in places of realizing that you really need something bigger and stronger than what's in your hand. Well, some of us, maybe you'd advertise that he is a waymaker. That when doors are closed and time is running out, God has a way of making ways out of no ways. Or maybe you would advertise that God is a healer. That as Bishop Gilbert Patterson used to say, if you can have it, God can heal it. I don't know how you would advertise God, but if I was on the campaign, if I was on the ad committee, I would simply advertise that he is a God who is faithful. That we serve a God who will do what he said he will do. I wish I was in a Baptist church, that if he promised it, he will perform it. That if he said all things will work together for your good, they will. If he said that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, it won't. If he said he will supply all of your needs, he's about to. If he declares that I will always be by your side, you better look for him every morning you wake up, because our God is faithful. He will do what he said he's going to do. He is, Dr. Bailey, a promise-fulfilling God. Now, if I was on that campaign and tried to persuade folk that God fulfills his promises. I'd have to put a little asterisk right there, CJ, because there's a caveat, there's a fine print you need to understand about the promises of God. Let's go get a little quiet, but just act like you're saved. First thing I need to understand about a faithful, promise-fulfilling God is that every promise God makes is not about your personal happiness. Come here. No. The sum of God's promises are not personal, they're communal. They're not personal, they're national. They're not personal, they're global. They're not personal, they're generational. That the hand of God does not move exclusively on your behalf. Go on deep, Pastor. God doesn't just exist to put a smile on your face. But God is up to something that is communal and national and global and intergenerational. God doesn't just start when you were born and end when you die. God's been moving before you got here and is doing something in your life that will continue after your death. Now, let me tell you why that's going to make you all quiet, because that means that sometimes what you perceive as God's not fulfilling his promise may simply be God using your experience to fulfill a promise that's bigger than you. Ooh, Pastor, chew that over. It's not that God isn't faithful, but that God is using you and your experience to further a promise that is bigger than just your lifetime. That you are a piece of an intergenerational global fulfillment of a promise of God that sometimes leaves you frustrated because it doesn't just happen for you. The second thing I need you to understand is not only God's promise is not personal, but sometimes God's promises are fulfilled after you're no longer here. Now that really bothers us, because we want to stand on God's word and see everything God has promised in our own lifetime. But the reality is that there are some moments when God declares what I'm doing began before you and won't be completed to after you. I brought a side order scripture because I know that's tough to swallow. When you go home and you read Hebrews chapter 11, you're going to hear about all these people who walked in faith. About Enoch and Abraham and Sarah and Noah. And one of the most powerful verses in Hebrews chapter 11 is verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13 basically says that all these who walked in faith died having not received the promise, but having seen it afar off, were assured of it. That Moses and Noah and Abraham and Enoch and Sarah, they saw the promise, but they never received the promise, because sometimes God's fulfillment comes after you have come this way. Now, I knew that'd make you quiet, but the reality is that you and I can engage in behavior that causes the promise to skip to the next generation. If you don't believe me, revisit your history of God in the book of Numbers. For those who remember, God has heard the cries of his children in Exodus. He's raised up a leader by the name of Moses. He's hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He's brought the children of Israel to the banks of the Red Sea with Pharaoh coming up behind and seemingly no way to survive. And that God who heard their prayers opened up the Red Sea and made a way out of no way. Then, to add some icing on the cake, closed it when Pharaoh was in the middle. and the Egyptians that Moses and the children of Israel saw that day, they would never see again. God began them on a journey to the promised land, a journey through the wilderness where they had some rough days, but God made a way. Journey where the Lord gave them bread from on high and water out of a rock. And the Bible says that within a few short weeks, they have made it to the boundary of the promised land. Here they stand looking into the land God swore he would give to the descendants of Abraham. And in preparation for their conquest, Bible says they sent some spies into the land. Now I'm in chapter 13. They sent 12 spies representing the 12 tribes of Israel. You all know what happens. They go in the land. They see all the inhabitants. They cut down a cluster of grapes that is so big, it takes two folk to carry it back. They come back to the children of Israel. You remember what happens. 10 spies say, look, the land is everything God said it was. How else than ever. It's Black History Month. How else than ever. How else than ever. There are some strong people in that land. The cities are fortified, and there are giants in that land. And we can never win this battle. Bible says that's what 10 of them said. And when you get to chapter 14, the children of Israel have listened to the 10 and have made a decision that they are not going into the promised land. And God is so angry that God says, I'm going to fulfill the promise. And the children of Israel will still inhabit the land, but not near one of them. I said it, near one shall enter the promised land, that this promise will skip this generation. And I'm going to perform it in the ones that come after them. Brothers and sisters, that's a good place for us to stop and learn a life lesson, because I don't know about you, but I'm like David. I want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to see God do in my life what God promised he'd do. I want to see the Lord take what was meant for evil and work it together for my good. I want to see the Lord cut down the workers of iniquity like the green grass. I want to see the Lord heal my body of whatever disease I may ever have. I want to see God perform what he promised. And not just only personally, but nationally. I want to see the Lord heal our land. I want to see God make the rough places smooth and the crooked places straight. I want to see God bring an end to gun violence and the killing of black children in the streets of American cities. I want to see God lift up a nation that is true to its calling, where all men and all women are created and treated equally. I want to see God do it in my lifetime.
You've been listening to Major Mistakes here on Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley. We'll be right back.
Join us for Kaya, our monthly Come As You Are worship experience, an exciting gathering for millennials and young adults that tackles real and relevant issues of everyday life. Wednesday, June 1st at 7:30 p.m. only at Alfred Street Baptist Church. For more information, visit alfredstreet.org.
And now, back to Major Mistakes with Pastor Howard John Wesley.
There's some major mistakes we have to avoid. Some things the children of Israel did that displeased the Lord. Let me drop four of them on you real quick, and then you go home and talk about it. What did did the children of Israel do that caused them to miss the fulfillment of a promise from a God who always fulfills his promises? Well, let me tell you, number one, first thing I see is that they listened to reason without searching for revelation. Say, they listened to reason, but did not search for revelation. Watch what happens. The spies come back, and 10 of them say, we can't do it. And here's why. The people are strong. The cities are fortified. The giants are in that land. And then the 10 spies began to list all the inhabitants of the land and where they live. They said, look, the Jebusites over there, the Amalekites up there, then the Amorites over there, the Hittites over there. They said, listen, all them folk are over there, and we can't handle that many enemy, so we can't do this. The Bible says that the Israelites listened and decided not to go in, and it displeased God. Now hear me, what displeases God is not the report that the spies brought. Why do I say that? Because the report was true. The cities are fortified. The Jebusites live over there, the Amorites up there, the Amalekites yonder, and the Jebusites down the road. The report is true. And the reason I need to emphasize that is because there is this misconception in the world that faith requires you to deny or ignore reality. That faith is somehow closing your eyes and acting like you don't see what you just saw. That faith puts you in this euphoric, charismatic, hallelujah, tongue-talking place that causes you not to acknowledge the rough reality of the world you're living in. That faith somehow says we just gonna act like there's no race problem, act like there's no cancer, act like there's not an HIV issue, act like all our schools are equal, act as if our children are doing well, act as if our families are prospering, that we just gonna act like it is what it ain't. And the problem is not the acknowledgement of reality. The problem that God says I have with y'all is that that's all you listen to. That it's all right to acknowledge the reality. It's all right to use reason. It's all right to look at the realities of your life. There's nothing wrong with you using the good mind that God gave you. There's nothing wrong with weighing out the pros and cons in a difficult situation. Nothing wrong with calling some wise counselors to give you some wisdom from their experience. There's nothing wrong with looking at the statistics and the probabilities and looking at the obstacles and the opposition that you've got to go through. The problem is, don't let that be all you listen to. The challenge with the children of Israel is that they listened to the 10, but they didn't pray to God. And after you've weighed out the pros and cons, after you've sought out wise counsel, after you've looked at the statistics and the probability, there ought to be a moment when you kneel down on your knees. And after you've heard everybody else, you begin to search for the revelation of what the Lord desires you to do. God, what do you say? And what do you want me to do? That's why I like old Joshua and Caleb. The Bible says that after the 10 have given their report, these two stood up and said, yes, it's a rough land. And yep, there's some enemies over there. And you got it, it's going to be a battle. But God is with us. And if we see and know that the Lord is with us, who cares what anybody else says when you know the revelation of God? And you will never see the fulfillment of God's promise if all you do is listen to what other folks say and never take time out to fall on your knees and ask God, what does he say? That's the first problem I see. I'm going to move on. The second one is this, that they forgot their history, which made them lose their hope. It's African American. They forgot their history. That made them lose their hope. God sees them take a vote not to go in. God shows up, and this is what he says, Moses. He said, listen, you mean to tell me after everything I've done, these same folk got the unmitigated gall to sit here and be afraid of some enemies on the other side? God stepped back and said, hold on, hold. Didn't I open the Red Sea? Didn't I drown Pharaoh to add icing to the cake? Didn't I feed you with manna from the on high? Didn't I make water come out of a rock? Didn't I keep scorpions from biting you in the middle of the wilderness? And now you doubt what I'm able to do. He said, the problem is they don't have any hope because they don't remember their history. My brothers and my sisters, God wants to speak to children of Israel and tell them, look, this ain't the first time you've been outnumbered. This isn't the first time the odds have been against you. This isn't the first time you've had more enemies than you can name. And if I handled it in your past, what in the world makes you think that I'm not able to handle it right now? Come here. That is why the story of African Americans in this land is not just a story to be told to black and brown children for 28 days a year. Because it is the definitive story of how a God has brought a people up out of slavery and brought them to a place of promise and privilege and prestige. No other people have the story that we have. This is not a story about black folk. This is a story about a God who kept us across the Atlantic in the Amistad. A God who delivered us from the shackles of slavery. A God who brought us through Plessy versus Ferguson and the Dred Scott decision. A God who kept us in Jim Crow and separate but equal. A God who delivered us from the pain of Medgar Evers and four little girls. That God did it. And when you know your history, you'll have some hope in your future. Because I just believe the same God who brought us through church bombings will carry us through church shootings. The same God who dealt with the KKK can deal with ISIS. The same God that healed us through Emmett Till will carry us through Tamir Rice. The same God who gave us the right to vote will shut down the suppression of our vote. And the same God who brought us from where we were is the God that'll keep us where we are. That's why James Weldon Johnson, in that song that you know now, he challenged us in that first verse. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. And sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. That when you look in your dark past and see a God who's brought you through, it ought to give you some hope no matter what you face in your present day. He said, listen, the problem with these children of Israel, They listen to reason without searching for revelation. They forgot their history, which made them lose their hope. The third thing I see here is that they had a promise they would not pursue. Slide over. I'm about to give you a little conservative right wing. Watch what happens. The 10 spies come back, and the people are persuaded they can't do it because of the enemies that the 10 spies list out. They say, listen, the Amalekites over there, the Hittites around there, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites. And when the people hear about the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, they say, we can't do it. Don't miss the Bible. When they hear that the Amalekites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, all them otherites are over there, they say, we can't do it. Now, here's the problem with that. When God called Abram in Genesis and shared with him the land that his people would inherit, the Bible says he showed him the land of the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amalekites. And when God called Moses in Exodus chapter 3, this is what he tells Moses. I've heard the cry of my children, and I've come to take them out of bondage. I'm going to give them the land of the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Amalekites, and the Hittites. And so now the spies have gone in. They've seen the Amorites, the Amalekites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, all the otherites, and now they've gotten scared. And God's problem is, what's your problem? The presence of enemies was always part of my promise in the first place. I told you I was going to give you the land of the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites, so the presence of an enemy should not discourage you. It's confirmation of the promise I said I'm going to do.
You've been listening to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church. If you would like to download this sermon and or find out how you can support this ministry, be sure to visit alfredstreet.org. Remember, Alfred Street Baptist Church has 4 opportunities for you to worship with us every weekend, in person and or online. Please visit alfredstreet.org for details.